Hey, Mixos Nation, Matt here, here with Paul. Just to give you guys a heads up, this episode is going to have a bit of an abrupt ending. We ran into some technical difficulties thanks to some local flooding.
Recently. We had tweeted out earlier that Mixos Studios was the victim of taking on some water. And up until the... Until we thought we were done recording, we didn't realize that some of the equipment took on some water.
Right, and as a result, we ended up losing probably about the last third of the episode, which was a bit of a jumbo episode, so you're going to get a pretty good almost hour of Mixos goodness, but spoiler warning, we are not going to cover the Marvel portion of the San Diego Comic-Con revelations from this past weekend.
Saving the best for last, like we do. That was unfortunately the part of the episode that got flooded.
Right. So what we will do is next week we're going to cover all the big Marvel announcements from last week. And we'll probably also, as a bonus, cover the It trailer. Unless something...
This is a horror house. Mixos is a horror house, and
it is a horror house, isn't it?
If we had got into the It trailer when we wanted to, this episode would have been like 3 hours long.
Right.
So I think the Marvel announcements and the It trailer can easily give us an hour of content.
Well, we'll see. But here's the crazy thing: we've tried. We cannot predict the future here at Mixos Studios. Mm-hmm. So. Who knows what's going to happen between now and next Monday night, Paul?
So no one knows.
No one knows.
Ian's going to be real surprised because he left already.
Right. What the fuck is this? So likely we're going to cover Marvel from San Diego and It, but who knows? Maybe something crazy is going to happen in the next 7 days and we're going to be forced to cover that. And then, dear listeners, you may be left to your own devices to figure out what exactly happened at Comic-Con regarding Marvel.
Right. But listen to this episode all the way through. There's some really good stuff contained within up until the abrupt cutoff.
Right. So we're sorry, but we promise we'll be back in a week and we will deliver the goods.
As only we do.
That's right. Okay. Enjoy the show.
Welcome to episode 290 of the Mixos Podcast. My name is Paul McGinty. With me, as always, are Ian, the Sauce Sharply.
Hello!
And Matt Cassell.
I like that energy, Ian.
It is.
And hello, Paul.
Hello, Matthew. It is Monday night, July 22nd, and tonight we're going to break down some San Diego Comic-Con International 2019 news. We're going to talk a little bit about comics, because we don't know if we like comics and there wasn't a lot of information. Then we're going to talk about some Mr. Rogers, some Marvel Phase 4? 3?
4 or 5?
4 or 5?
4 and 5-ish. There was news. There was comic book news. We just don't give a shit anymore.
I give a shit about some of it. Some of it. But why don't we save that for the episode? But before we get to the episode, we do housekeeping with Ian Sharply.
Mixos.com, the home of our comic strip and our podcast. You can check us out on the different social medias. Check us out on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube. You can also find the podcast on Podomatic, Apple Podcasts. You can find us on Spotify, Stitcher Radio. We actually had a listener respond. Daniel Jean Francis responded and said on Facebook that he listens via Spotify. So thank you, Daniel. We appreciate you reaching out to us and letting us know. We like to know where our listeners listen. So if anybody else wants to tell us what platform you listen to the show on, please reach out and do so. Another platform that you can listen to us on is odysseyone.com. It's our internet radio home, and you can find us there this week, 10 p.m. Wednesday night. And you can also check out some of our wares on tpublic.com. Type in Mixsos, M-C-S-O-S-S, and you can buy two of our t-shirts there. You can buy the traditional three-headed McSauce monster t-shirt. You can also buy the Theater Justice. If you're going to the movies this summer, you want to represent, chop the head off of any fucking piece of shit that talks during the movie. So Theater Justice. And I'm assuming that this is going to be released soon. So, Paul?
No, after that.
Is it? After that. You would have missed out on Paul singing and Drink and Draw and all that good stuff.
How did your show go?
It went okay.
Great. That's good to hear.
It didn't go great. There were some rowdy fans. Someone had a dress right up, and we saw her butt while she was fighting with some other girl. It was a wild time. You absolutely should have been there.
Bright green, right? Maybe we'll post that video or a link to that video somewhere.
So why don't we get into the old meat and potatoes of the McSauce podcast?
My mom calls them potatoes.
Potatoes?
With a B?
With a B?
Kinda, yeah.
Like butt-tatoes? Like
potatoes
that come from your butt?
Yeah, and another word that she kind of butchers is onions. Onions.
Oh.
U-N-G-I-O-N-S. Onions. Onion.
We are nothing if not sticklers for grammar here on the McSauce Pod.
The McSauce Grammar Pod.
Mama Casau, you're fucking off the grammar island.
You know, I know I've brought it up on the show before, but that reminds me of an old friend of mine. His mother always used to call it Nintendo.
Oh,
Nintendo. Are you gonna play?
Ian's playing the Nintendo.
Oh, you do intend to, you know, fucking save the princess.
Starts with a vowel, ends with a vowel. So, San Diego Comic-Con International was this weekend.
Is it international?
Yeah, it's in some part of the name. It's way too long. It's like the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim or whatever bullshit that is. Yeah. The fucking Anaheim Angels, assholes.
California, goddammit. Right. California Angels.
Keep fucking everything up. So,
old men.
We weren't there. We did not go.
Why didn't we go? I'm sure that we could pass as media somehow. We have 200, almost 300 episodes of a show that sort of talks about comic books. I would imagine that we could get a table.
The convention isn't even comic books anymore.
Like, but that's not what we talk. We've grown with the convention.
I'm sure McDonald's had some presence at that convention, and that's what we cover.
Yes. Our biggest hitter. I'm sure that there's. Did you go to the Swiss cheese booth? I did. I got my Swiss cheese swag. T-shirt full of holes.
Because they had a shit ton of swag left because you were the only people that went to get Swiss cheese swag. To get Swiss swag.
Oh, was the Italian cheese table mob? It's not even fair. Cheese isn't real cheese.
Don't look at
me. It's a combination of cheeses.
Don't look at me like I'm camp Italian cheese. And I agree. Italian cheese, quote unquote, is bullshit because it is a fucking Voltron of cheeses that account for the most popular cheeses in America.
It is bullshit. You know what? Italian cheese, you're off the list. You don't count as cheese because you are a menagerie of cheese.
Take mozzarella, parmesan, and ricotta off the table. Your three top cheeses, in no order, are American, Swiss, and cheddar. I guarantee it. I guarantee it.
So all you Italian cheese apologists can go to hell. Or San Diego Comic Con.
Is mozzarella not...
It's part of the Italian cheese.
Was it...
I think so, right?
Wait, that's what I said. I said mozzarella, parmesan, and ricotta. Oh. A mozzarella.
Oh, God.
It's my Italian roots.
Yeah. Yes.
Matt, you should be saying that.
I know, right? What? Where are you? Aren't you representing?
Where are you from, son?
Goddamn cheese!
Those are your cheeses.
Your people's cheeses.
No one said Irish cheese, and I don't even think Africa has cheese.
I don't think we do.
You don't even give a shit about.
He doesn't care. He wants to talk about real stuff. He's fucking done. He's all out.
Right. Let's blow through the quick comic book news real fast.
Well, it's not quick comic book news. It's just comic book news that we don't care about.
Tangentially care about. I kind of care about Strange Adventures. I'm probably going to buy Strange Adventures. I'm also the only one left on the podcast that gets regular weekly comic books.
Sure, but that doesn't rule out people buying comic books in a bunch. Like, does the fact that every Saturday night I collect a whole bunch of comic books digitally, does that mean that I'm not a comic book fan anymore?
No, you are a comic book fan, but you're not going to get... You don't go to the shop. You don't get hard copy books. Do you think you're going to get Strange Adventures on a dark, quiet, hot, steamy Saturday night?
Feeling a little dangerous.
When it's just you, no pants, and comic books. And Comixology.
Well, I did get Mr.
Comixology Miracle. Should be spelled with three X's.
At least at my house. I did get Mr. Miracle. Did you get Mr. Miracle?
No, I didn't.
Does that make me more of a comic book fan?
Or I think so.
I don't think so. It was fine. And that's one of the creators on this. It's Tom King.
It's
Doc Shaner and Mitch.
Mitch Gerads, yeah. Two of the creators. King wrote and Mitch Gerads drew Mr. Miracle. I didn't get it, but it seemed to have a quirky vibe to it that
do you
a
like lot of quirk, people like. I feel like you like the hits. You like pop. You like straight down the line, Pepsi and Matchbox 20. And right. That's not what this is.
I don't want you to fuck around with a Superman book. But if you're going to take a weirdo, no one gives a shit character like Mr. Miracle and do just some goofy ass shit with him, yeah, knock yourself out. And that's how I feel about this Strange Adventures book. That looks like it's going to star Adam Strange, human that gets zapped to the planet Ron. I always call it Ran. I think on the TV show Krypton, they call it Ron. Disagree. Hard pass on the soft A pronunciation.
Normally would agree with you, but you called Miracle Whip
Miracle Whip
today.
Yeah, so, I know what I did.
And Mr. Miracle.
Mr. Miracle.
And... Stereo for the 20 years that I've known you.
That's a greatest hit of my mispronunciation. That's like my 3 a.m. If you know your Matchbox 20 greatest hits.
Who doesn't?
That's the one that's your Radiohead creep. I will be playing Stereo for the rest of my life.
Say it wrong!
So, Strange Adventures, written by Tom King, who I think stinks. I read a lot of his Batman run. I didn't like it. I got two issues into Heroes in Crisis, which was just nonsense. But the two artists, Mitch Gerads and Doc Shaner, big fan of those guys. Such really good, strong comic book artists. Doc Shaner especially. He has a real clean, cartoony, Darwin Cook, Silver Age kind of feel to it.
Alex Toth-ish. Yeah.
Really good stuff. So I'm torn because I love the character Adam Strange, and I love the artists, but Tom King's storytelling has really left me wanting real bad.
But it's definitely something that I think that you would consider. I'm going to pick it up at some point as well. Matt, do you have any feelings, negative or positive, about Strange Adventures?
I don't.
Ian, what other comic book news did we have?
Well, we did have the J.J. Abrams and his son and Sarah Pacelli are going to be writing a Spider-Man book.
Oh, Sarah Pacelli's so good.
Her fucking fantastic art artist. Is awesome. But... J.J. Abrams and his son writing? I don't know. It could be kind of good. I think I actually will pick it up, though. I think it's something that's interesting. I feel like it's my 90s roots where I'm going to be picking up a comic book strictly for the artist and not just for like the writer. I guess it's for the character, too.
What percentage And like, this is not to cast aspersions on Junior Abrams.
Henry.
Junior.
Hank.
But what percentage of the writing do you think JJ's going to do or Henry's going to do? Like, I kind of get the sense that Henry's the guy that's like, Dad, I really want to write Spider-Man. And he's like, oh, I'll put my name on. I'll, you know, give you some ideas. But like, Henry's the guy. And that's not meant to talk shit on Junior Abrams, because Joe Hill, Stephen King's son, has done some really outstanding stuff. So maybe Henry Abrams is the next Joe Hill.
Could be. I guess we're going to have to read to find out.
Is it like Lawrence Kasdan bringing in his son to help write the Han Solo movie? John Kasdan?
Maybe, but like and who fucking knows? It's all crazy speculation because we don't know these people, but I never got the sense that J.J. Abrams would want to write a Spider-Man book.
Okay.
I feel like he's just along for the ride.
Maybe.
Right?
I don't know. He made Star Trek. He made Star Wars. I mean, it seems like he wants to touch all the cool stuff.
Yeah, so. But he's never been in the comic book game.
No, but if you were going to get into it, like, wouldn't you get in on one of the best characters?
Oh, yeah. Write? Like, with that kind of clout, like, it's going to be Spider-Man or Superman.
Right.
Brian Bendis has Superman on lockdown. Don't you worry about it, JJ. Bendis has this.
Look, I'm turned off by the whole project because of the way that Marvel marketed the announcement, the way that they teased it on social media for the better part of a week.
With the countdown and the webs.
With the countdown, yeah. Knowing totally full well what those numbers might represent to fans. And then
numbers represent to fans?
I think the two most likely theories was that it was some kind of Sam Raimi Spider-Man 4 follow-up, or the other one was a Fantastic Four Spider-Man crossover.
Why are you focusing on the number 4? Because they just did a countdown.
Because they started at number 4. That was the first one that they released. They didn't start a countdown at 10. They didn't start at 5 or 3. They started at 4. Like, that's intentional. You know what that number could represent. And people jumped to those conclusions. It was pretty shitty of Marvel, I think. And then what we actually got is probably less interesting than either of those potential.
Yeah, I mean, like, are you sure they didn't start at 5?
Yeah. Yeah,
because why wouldn't you start at 5?
That's
if not 10. If you're not doing 10, 5.
Or start 3. At 5. Or you do 3, 2, 1, right?
Blast off.
Right.
Right. Yeah. I mean, like, you are really in love with the Sam Raimi Spider-Man movie, so I think your brain goes. But fan, like, fan I pay no attention that it started at 4.
Fan sentiment seems to be that they acknowledge that Spider-Man 3 was not very good, but the reason was because of studio interference. So if they released Spider-Man 4 in comic book form, kind of the way Sam Raimi wanted it to be done without that studio influence, it would be really good, like Spider-Man 1 and Spider-Man 2. But it seems like that... it seems like it very well may happen, because Sam Raimi was interviewed recently with his new movie Crawl that I think he produced coming out, and he's constantly asked about Spider-Man, and he says like it still bothers him that he kind of didn't get to finish those movies. So maybe there's something down the road that he could revisit.
Was 4 going to be the end?
I don't know. It seemed like it would have made sense. 3 seemed like probably a pretty good end. It seemed like 3 just had too much crammed into it. And yeah. As a result, everything suffered. But because it ended appropriately, I think, given the way that, you know, certain characters came to an end and everything. But other things were just given such limited exposure that it was kind of a disappointment. Maybe 4 was going to be his way of rectifying that and getting a little bit back to like what worked in 1 and 2. But who knows? Who knows?
Did
but
we mention those potential castings of John Malkovich and Anne Hathaway as Black Cat?
No, we didn't mention that, but...
She famously played another, well, I mean, Selena Kyle. Who knows who possibly could have, you know, what other alter ego Selena Kyle could have had.
No idea.
No one will ever know.
Gone forever.
But anyway, yeah, I'm turned off just because of the way Marvel handled the announcement. So I just don't care.
Does that really sour you on it, things like...
That one does, yeah. I'll be honest with you, I'm severely behind on the current Spider-Man title, although I'm hearing that it is excellent. And I'm
Have you been hearing from Paul McGinty?
Him, among other people. And I'm committed to getting caught up on it.
A little long-winded at times. Nick Spencer likes to write.
Yeah.
But overall, I think it's been really good.
Yeah, and I'm committed to getting caught up on it. And honestly, it seems like this is the Spider-Man that I want to read.
I'm pretty indifferent on, I forget who the artist is, Ryan Ottley, right? I'm indifferent.
It fluctuates between him and little Humberto Ramos, just because it's not a monthly book. And, you know, Ryan Ottley's pretty good. He's pretty fast, but he's not 2 times a month fast. He's not John Romita Jr. fast.
The runs bounce between a couple artists.
Back in the day, our boy Todd McFarlane could pump them out twice a month.
And it showed.
Did he do it twice a month?
When he was on Amazing Yes.
Was he really?
On Amazing Yes. Son of a gun. Yes. He was really quick. He was always quick. Like, I know he was an Image guy, and they all get a bad rap. Mm-hmm. Or not a bad rap.
It's fair.
That's a fair rap. Is that right? But Todd McFarlane was never... Rap. He was never one of those people. Even though his art was extremely detailed, he was always really quick. From
right, maybe his technically schedule. Quick, but he was still late.
I don't think he was late. Like Spawn wasn't late.
Spawn was late. They were all late.
I don't think Spawn was late, man. Not like Wildcats.
Not like Wildcats. Not like Youngblood.
Yeah.
Right. Not like Tribe.
No. But Spawn Savage Dragon.
Tribe number one came out. And then that's
I'm still
it.
Waiting on number two.
Who was Tribe?
Larry Stroman.
I don't even know that name.
Larry Stroman's really good. I like his art. He was he got famous on X Factor. After
what was the Mark Texeria or Texera?
Ooh, what was boy, that you're book testing called? My 90s knowledge. I honestly don't know. I can't even see it in my head. Like, what? Can you give me a hint?
I think the character was like purple and white.
I don't know. This is bad radio, so we'll look it up. But yeah, Todd McFarlane was, you know, getting back to our roots here. Todd McFarlane was always on time, I would say. So what other things came out? Do we have any other comic book news, Paul, that you're interested about being the resident local weekly comic book shop patron?
I don't, and maybe that speaks to how I'm only the local authority in this room, because I'm sure there had to be other comic book news that came out.
Well, there's big comic book news about X-Men. Didn't X-Men have a big like push to like get back into the mainstay of Marvel? With Jonathan Hickman is going to be a writer on Powers of X and House of X, which are going to be two big flagship titles. So I did see that this weekend as well, that X-Men are trying to make a big bad push.
Ian, I don't mean to interrupt, but Mark...
Breaking news.
Mark Texeira, T-E-X-E-I-R-A, say it how you will, his comic was Union, and while I said purple and white, what I meant to say was red and blue.
And he had, paint a picture for the fans at home that don't know.
He had the 90s Billy Clubs that were kind of prominent.
Were they prominent?
I mean, yeah, you had Night Thrasher had them. Daredevil,
Nightwing, all the Knights.
Nightwing, right, yeah. And then, of
Night
course,
Devil.
And then, of course, you have Union from Image Comics.
Night Union.
And, right. And they were like glowy Billy Club nightstick things. Although they look kind of longer. They almost look like little staffs.
Like a Knight Donatello.
Yeah, right.
But they light up. They're almost like Billy lightsabers. But white hair on this guy. Yeah. A lot of those guys liked white-haired men.
Big, there's a big fetish back in the day. Old grizzled, I guess it's like old man strength and old grizzled men. Gotta do it one last time. Drag me out of retirement to kick ass. I guess that's a theme throughout pop culture. Movies, comic books, so. TV. Dirty Harry is one of those old guys. Batman from The Dark Knight Returns. Cable.
What?
All fucking old men that kick ass.
What's his
Liam name? Neeson.
Mark Teixeira.
He did Wolverine, if I'm not incorrect, Matt.
He did.
Yeah.
Sometimes well, sometimes not as
it would
well.
Be, it would be
I was
really,
never a fan. That shit was real
it would,
sloppy.
It would be really beneficial if he didn't share a name with Yankees first baseman Mark Teixeira.
There's no way. Is that him? Boy, did his style morph.
That's not him.
Yeah, I didn't think so. Anyway, bad radio. So we covered all the comic books, I think, that we give a shit about. What's the stuff that happened that we care about or actually will participate in? Movies, TV, what happened, Paul?
Well, The CW had a pretty big presence.
We call it the C-Dog here.
Right.
I like it.
Arrow is entering its final season this fall. And Arrow, The Flash, Supergirl, Legends of Tomorrow, and I assume they're going to loop the new Batwoman show into Crisis on Infinite Earths.
Well, it is a C-Dub show, right?
Right.
Black Lightning also?
No.
We sure that it's not connected to all this stuff?
Are you fucking asking me? Are you questioning me?
I am.
Yes, we're sure it's not connected to that stuff.
Okay.
Because Black Lightning the way Greg Berlanti talked about it when Black Lightning premiered was that Black Lightning handles some more not serious issues, but they handle more
Black
real
issues.
Life.
That's what he
real
meant
life
to say.
Issues where it's a little more grounded in reality than the other shows. And I think it's bullshit because I've watched two seasons of Black Lightning, and I think there's absolutely a way to fold that world into the Arrowverse. Just like Supergirl is on another world. She doesn't exist on the same planet with Arrow and Flash and the Legends. So they can fold everyone together. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Batwoman is absolutely part of Gotham City with Central City and Star City. And the beautiful Katie Lotz. So they're doing a big Crisis on Infinite Earth. It's going to be the big send off for Stephen Amell's Arrow. Arrow's going to have a final season, 8 episodes. I assume all
a
of
nice
those...
tight eight.
Nice I tight eight. It. I'm so excited. I assume all of those are going to be surrounded by the other episodes' Crisis episodes. Or the other show's Crisis episodes. And while I'm disappointed that Stephen Amell is leaving and we're going to be done with Arrow, I also feel like this is the right send-off for him. In the original 1980s Crisis on Infinite Earths DC story, Barry Allen sacrifices himself to save the universe. And I think that's going to be what Stephen Amell's Oliver Queen does in this. And then we're going to go forward. And essentially after this season of this coming season of television, we're going to have like the CW's phase 2 or whatever. We're going to break into whatever happens next. They introduced Kate Kane, Batwoman. She was part of the crossover last season. So, like,
is she from a alternate Earth or something like that, or is she just...
No, she's from the main.
Yeah.
So, Legends, Arrow, Flash, all on the same Earth. Supergirl is from a different Earth dimension.
CBS Earth.
Right. Because that show started on CBS. But then, of course, they found out, you know, some technological way to be able to get to that Earth. And
no, no, we got canceled.
They didn't get, well, they didn't get canceled. They moved. But I don't think they should
whatever
have,
you want to call it.
Because that first season of Supergirl on CBS was really fucking good.
It's the only season that I've watched of Supergirl, and it was awesome. I really liked it.
And then they brought it to the CW, and all of a sudden it turned into...
schlock.
No, it turned into just like beating the audience over the head with social issues. With
social justice.
With Mexicans in prisons, analogs, and like all this, like just the trans stuff and like everything. It's just, it's, I get a good, I like a good 1985. Is that the George Orwell book?
1984?
Four, yeah. I like
it. You sure you like it? You like a dystopian future controlled by Big Brother?
I
we're
like
almost there, dog. We're
I like
there.
A good social commentary. When it's
no,
done,
you don't even know the fucking book's name.
But I knew of it, and I know what it is. So, like, I appreciate when it's done casually. But like this last season of Supergirl,
casual just totalitarian
beats you over the head with stuff.
Yeah,
and that's not why I tune in for the show. I understand the show using its platform and its popularity to bring the issues to people that maybe aren't realizing the issues. But I get it. I understand the issues. I don't need told the issues. I love Taco Bell. I don't need to see any more Taco Bell commercials.
I love the one-to-one. I love it. So good.
Yeah, Supergirl's kind of, I don't know. Like, I want to dump it, but I feel like I need to watch it because it's going to tie into the big Stephen Amell send-off. So I'm pretty excited for these CW shows this season. I couldn't get that out without stuttering.
I'm pretty excited
about these C-Dog shows this season. I think Flash is going to get... It looks like Flash is going to get back to a little more of its roots. They got a little crazy last season. They brought, like, Barry and Iris' daughter back from the future, and then she fucked up stuff, and then she had to save stuff, and it was just too unwieldy. I think this story is going to be...
What The Flash is about is like...
It is about time travel. And the other seasons have been about time travel, but they've been more tightly written, controlled stories. Last season was a bit all over the place. This season, I hope they get back to this is the villain we're dealing with. It's a big deal. It's a brand new villain called Bloodwork, who I guess can manipulate if people live or die, because it's the premise of the trailer looks like they're doing the Flash's version of Blackest Night or the Cancerverse from Marvel, where this dude Bloodwork is like, no one dies anymore. I figured this out. No one dies anymore. And it looks like it could get pretty crazy. And the Flash cast is great. Grant Gustin's really good. Like, the show is a really good show. And I just want them to focus everything a little bit more. And rolling into Crisis this season, I'm amped about these shows. And I'm never amped about Black Lightning. But then I watch it and I'm like, God damn it, I'm in.
Do these shows do well in the ratings? I don't know or pay attention to that, but do they do well?
I don't know the numbers. I don't really pay attention to that, but they do enough that they're never in danger of cancellation, and they're adding more.
And it's a massive block of CW's programming is all of these superhero shows. So
it also seems that the production value is going up on them, correct?
Production value is probably going up because technology is more being able to be used by TV shows. It's not just strictly for movies and big movie studios. Granted, there is still a big gap between TV effects and movie effects.
Right, but TV effects are no longer claymation. They actually can use computers.
Unfortunately.
Right.
RIP, the California Raisins.
So, yeah, stuff's catching up and stuff looks pretty good. Some stuff looks amazing, and I don't really understand how, like, so whenever King Shark shows up on The Flash, it's outstanding. But then other smaller stuff like Supergirl flying or landing, it's like they just mail it in. Like, if you can give me this fully realized King Shark, it's a giant, like, 10-foot-tall shark person.
Maybe that effect is, like,
movie quality. Like, why can't I just have... why can't Supergirl flying look realistic? Why can't
maybe
it look
there's
like
a different production house or graphics team that works on the King Shark stuff as opposed to the Supergirl taking off and landing?
That maybe could be it. Maybe, or maybe it's because Supergirl takes off and lands so much that, like, they can't, they, that's where they need to cut costs because they do that more often.
Maybe.
And every time I see shitty flying, I always think of Superman Returns, because that was the first time I was like, oh my god, they finally got it right. They got the balance right. They got the center of gravity. Like, all of Brandon Routh's flying, quote unquote, in Superman Returns is so fucking good.
You're going to be able to compare Brandon Routh's flying as Superman now, because CW announced that he's going to play Superman in a alternate multiverse.
What
version?
What an outstanding unintended segue.
You ruined it because you said it was unintended. We wanted to have it flow. You set it up. I was like, I'm going to do this for you.
Brandon Routh played Superman in the unheralded Superman Returns. But all of his stuff is really fucking good in that movie. It's the movie around him that kind of lacks a little bit. But Crisis on Infinite Earths is 80s DC story where, like, they essentially get all of the superheroes from, like, Superman from, like, a bunch of different Earths and Batman from a bunch of different Earths, and they all bring them together. And this is to save everything. So this is going to be much smaller in scale, I'm sure. We're not going to, you know, we're not going to bring in Henry Cavill. We're not going to Frankenstein Christopher Reeve back to life and have him in the show. But it's going to be pretty awesome seeing a...
For some reason, I was picturing Christopher Lee, and I was like, I don't understand why you're suggesting him. It took me a few seconds.
But I think it's going to be pretty great seeing Brandon Routh, who played Superman, come back as Superman and get another bite at the apple, because he was really fucking good in that movie. And I don't think he gets the credit for that. The only thing I'm kind of disappointed in is that he's going to come back as Kingdom Come Superman. He's going to be
he's always weathered. Playing a Superman older than he should be playing.
You know who they should have gotten to play the Kingdom Come Superman? Watching Lucifer? Should have been Tom Welling.
Oh my god.
Because he looks like
he does
Kingdom Come Superman now.
I think that
would have been a great, like, roundabout for the CW, because Smallville was there. God. Like, they should have
done that. How much come would happen if all of a sudden Tom Welling showed up as Kingdom Come Superman, because he is older now.
He looks like thick. It now. Yeah.
He's thick. He has that thick Alex Ross build, because Alex Ross was like, I don't give a shit about ripped muscles and tone. He's
I only like, paint beer bellies.
He's like, here's my fat neighbor. I need you to stand in for Superman. Not that Tom Welling's fat. He's just a big boy.
He looks different enough, but I think that it would have connected everything together.
Oh, my
and
God.
Like,
Ian, you ruined it. As excited I was about Brandon Routh coming back, now that... Yeah, like Tom Welling,
that would have been perfect.
His current age and physique, it would have been perfect. But I think Smallville is a cherished part of Tom Welling's past, and I don't think he's really down for, like, I don't think he feels he needs to revisit the Superman role.
Maybe. I think it would have just been
cool. Oh, it would have been outstanding. So, yeah, between just the whole Crisis on Infinite Earths concept and Stephen Amell going out and Brandon Routh coming back and playing a version of Superman, I'm beyond excited for this crossover this fall. That's the biggest TV news for me. There's also the DC we can touch on this real quick. DC's releasing on DC Universe the Harley Quinn animated show, which is going to be R-rated.
Oh, I thought it was a movie. It's a show?
I thought it was going to be a show.
Okay, okay.
Yeah, they're gonna swear it's regular 2D animation. It's not CGI. People give double middle fingers in it. They say shit. Someone says fuck.
Oh no, radical! And they released a trailer at Comic-Con. Is that right?
They did. It looks like a classic, well-known DC villain, Dr. Psycho, is gonna play a fairly predominant role.
Kaley Cuoco is going to voice Harley Quinn. Alan Tudyk.
Tudyk
is the Joker. I think that's pretty good.
He sounds
pretty good.
I think
that he would be a good Joker.
Kaley Cuoco does not sound good as Harley Quinn, though. Because, like, I can't hear Harley Quinn without thinking of Arlene Sorkin or Tara Strong.
Tony Hale is Dr. Psycho. I don't know about that. Chris Maloney is Commissioner Gordon. Some good
sounds. Yes. Yeah. Oh, the voice cast is great, but like I don't know what they're trying to do with the show. It's like they're trying to make an adult cartoon based around Harley Quinn, and it's going to be silly and weird. It's
but
probably going to have
the audience
a lot of
for
like
Quinn,
Rick
though,
and Morty
it?
Elements to it, where it's just off the wall, bonkers.
Don't
shit.
You feel like that's the perfect audience for a Harley Quinn animated series? Like, I don't know. How many people at Comic-Con do we see that would be all into this?
I watched this trailer 3 times, and each time I didn't necessarily warm to it because I don't like Harley Quinn, but the more I watched it, the more I understood the tone of the show and how it's going to work and why they're doing it. And like, I kind of get it. I don't think it's for me.
Where is this show going to be airing? Is it going to be on the DC Universe app?
DC Universe app.
Is this something that would
HBO
make
it? Now or whatever Warner Brothers is
going
to.
Yeah, what's going on with that? What's going on with that? What's the deal?
Because the little logo here is not the DC logo. It's the Warner Brothers logo on the YouTube link. So that leads me to believe that it has to be something different than the DC.
Well, yeah, and there's a trailer out there for, I think it's going to be called HBO Now. And I think they're using HBO because HBO is such a brand name, especially coming off of Game of Thrones. And, like, I mean, HBO is a household name.
It's a home box office,
it is,
if you will.
The home box office. And so I think Warner Brothers has so much content that they're just using HBO as something recognizable right away. But they released a trailer for the program that it featured a lot of the title treatments for the DC Universe shows. So it looks like everything's going to be folded in. My guess is that you're going to go to HBO Now, which is going to be, you know, the Disney Plus competitor. But they're going to have all the DC stuff, Harry Potter, Terminator, like everything that falls under the Warner Brothers umbrella, which is so much shit. Like, it's their stuff I didn't even realize was Warner Brothers whenever I'm scrolling through that trailer. So I imagine DC is going to be a subsection of HBO Now. And, like, this feels like, for me anyhow, it feels like a must-have whenever it gets released. And they've got to keep it. They've got to keep that
so
price close
to
Disney Plus because Disney,
HBO Now.
Maybe.
And Disney Plus.
I'm going to get Disney Plus. I like that Disney Plus is, what, $6.99? And I feel like Warner Brothers needs to keep that price point close because that is their biggest competitor. Like, Netflix is up to, like, 13-something now. I'm like, come on, son. What are you guys doing over there? You're killing me.
Yeah, but are you going to ever get rid of Netflix?
No, probably not, because Netflix also bringing that new product heat. Some really cool shit on Netflix. And I feel like Netflix is the Vertigo of the comic book world, or even the Image of the comic book world, where creators can go to Netflix and just do whatever they want. And they're not going to be hampered by Marvel or DC restrictions or Warner Brothers or Disney restrictions. Like, if you want to do some wacky shit, Disney's going to be like...
It's the Image of the TV world or the movie world is, yeah, I think what he meant.
Matt knows where I'm coming from. Why are you still making a weird face? You know this analogy
I'm looking at Matt to, like, maybe enlighten me a little bit more on what you're saying.
Does that make sense what he meant? He meant, like... There's more free reign creatively. You're not beholden to studio interference.
But like, what are we talking about? Like, are we talking like what shows exactly? Like, but, I guess like Stranger Things and Aziz Ansari's show was like pretty much like whatever he fucking wanted to do.
And it's more creative driven. It's the guys that make it, they can make essentially whatever they want.
But in a way, it's also like algorithm driven. Like, they take a look at what people like, and they're like, people like Adam Sandler movies, so we're going to give a exclusive deal to Adam Sandler to make movies.
But
here.
Do they like his movies?
But
according to,
do they do well
on Netflix? They do. That's why they gave him a like 9-picture deal to make exclusive movies.
Right. There. They do that. But then what does Adam Sandler get to do? Whatever he wants.
I guess so.
There's no "you guess so." That's exactly how it happens. Like, do you think Disney would allow something like Dark to happen?
Well, Netflix didn't make Dark. They bought Dark from some weird German place.
Do you think Disney would buy Dark?
No, they wouldn't, because they have all of the... all everything. They have Star Wars and Spider-Man and everything and all the Disney shit.
And Marvel had the Avengers and X-Men, and then Rob Liefeld was like, but where do I put Youngblood? And then Image was like, hey, here we are. And that's what Image has been, and that's what Netflix is. Like, you can...
Maybe.
Essentially, no, there's no maybe. This is the... I'm not saying it. I hate your guts.
That's so mean, buddy.
So why don't we roll into movie talk? Because San Diego Comic-Con is movie madness. Matt, why don't we start with the movie you are so hard for, A Friendly Day in the Neighborhood?
Well, it had nothing to do with Comic-Con. But yeah, they did release the Mr. Rogers trailer today, and I thought it looked good. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but they released a new trailer for Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark. Was that a Comic-Con trailer release?
Why are we not talking about Mr. Rogers?
I just did.
Matt, it was so fast.
It's not part of Comic-Con, buddy.
Strict.
Scary Stories wasn't either.
Well, that looks good, too. They did release a trailer for the new Top Gun movie.
Was that a Comic-Con exclusive as well?
It was.
You know what? I recently watched Top Gun for the first time, I think, earlier this month, and it was a pretty good film.
Was it really? I haven't seen it in a long time, but I remember it being maybe uneven or imbalanced.
I don't know. I mean, like, it was fine. There's so much hype. Like, you can't watch a movie like that after this many years and not be affected by the hype of the movie.
I remember as a kid in the 80s, I was absolutely, and this may come as no surprise to you, Ian, but I was absolutely more of an Iron Eagle fan than Top Gun. I always thought Top Gun was
hit your aeronautic showdowns together.
Right. Like fighter jets. When you're talking fighter jet films from the 80s, there's two. There's Iron Eagle and there's Top Gun.
What I took out of Top Gun was how unrealistic it would have been for Tom Cruise to pick up on, I forget the lead actress's name, but to like actually pick her up in any sense. Like the whole bar singing to the woman scene, like you lost that loving feeling, that whole thing, nope, not working. Not gonna work for anybody. Not 1980, not now. Fucking weird.
I think it was 1986.
So,
86.
You just watched Top Gun for the first time recently.
Yes.
I've never seen Top Gun start to finish.
Really?
I've seen bits and pieces here and there. I never watched it start to finish.
I thought I was alone on this island.
I forget who it was. Someone told me this week, they were like, oh, when I heard that music, it choked me up a little bit. And what's weird is that when I heard that music, I was like, oh, that's from the video game.
I remember
that. I never played. I just know it because it's like that video game has become such like a pop culture staple in the video game world.
Yeah.
So like that's Top Gun essentially for me. It's it's the music, it's Danger Zone, it's all these like bits and pieces of parts of this movie, but I have no idea how they go together. Is Ed Harris in the original?
I don't think so.
I don't know.
Boy, does he have a wrinkly face. It looks much like a Sphinx cat, if you will.
He's getting old. He does look like a hairless cat.
Yeah, Sphinx Harris.
My favorite part of the Top Gun trailer was how they smashed Val Kilmer's fat head into that tiny pilot helmet.
Is he in the trailer?
For like a second.
I don't know if I noticed it. Oh, I'm going to have to go back and watch.
So Iceman, Val Kilmer's character, was he a bad guy in the original? Or was he a jerk that became good at the end?
He was kind of an anti-hero, I would say. A little bit of like an extra dickish Han Solo.
I want to watch Top Gun. And
maybe we should do a Top Gun commentary for this show.
I would like to do that, but I also want to just watch it. Like, I don't know if my first time, I don't know if I want my first time seeing Top Gun start to finish to be when we're ripping it to shreds. Maybe we can do that with Cocktail.
But anyway, I thought the trailer looked pretty good. And not only that, I got to give it to Tom Cruise. I feel like I've been very anti-Tom Cruise for a long time just because of his antics and
his religion.
Yeah, right. And it seems like there's a lack of sincerity. He seems like he's constantly being a showman. But with that said, the guy always, when he's on screen, gives like 120%. And maybe he deserves some credit that I haven't given him.
He won you over this Top Gun trailer.
Well, you know, he does seem disingenuous in interviews. But when you hear... when you hear other celebrities talk about their meetings with Tom Cruise when the camera's off, they're all very genuine, very flattering. So, like, I think that might just be the guy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, maybe his disingenuousness is just him. And it's actually the real deal, but he's just kind of strange.
Yeah.
I might see Maverick.
It looks fine.
Yeah, but anyway, I thought that it looked... that was the thing that I was like, first of all, I thought I had heard that they were making it, but then I saw the trailer and I was like, oh, I wasn't expecting this. That's pretty cool. A couple other unexpected movie things were some of the talk of the new Terminator movie that's on its way. Apparently, Edward Furlong is coming back to reprise his role of humanity's savior, John Connor.
Is that going to drive you to theaters to see the new Terminator?
It made me Google him.
It only makes sense if, to save the world, he needs to eat everything.
is he a big baby?
He put on a couple pounds.
I get it. He's part of the best Terminator movie. But, man, buddy, buddy, you gotta get on that Henry Cavill workout. Like, you got, not even that, just lose some weight. You can be skinny. You can look like old version of skinny John Connor.